John chapter 14 is where we're at for the past 16 weeks. We've been going through the series on the portraits of Jesus. Every chapter of John has an idea, a picture of who Jesus was, who he is, why did he come, where did he come from, and what was he about. So every chapter, John trying to tell us something about Jesus. It's not 10 steps to improve your lives. It's not 10 steps to improve your marriage. But the entire gospel, it's about Jesus and Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. I hate goodbyes. I really do. I'm like that awkward goodbye guy. So after church today, I'll probably wave to you, bye, and that's it. I'm not a linger goodbyer. I'm not a hugger goodbyer. The same way when I drop Liz off the airport, when she leaves town, I usually a quick pull up, not kick her out of the door, but kind of like, okay, see ya, see you later, I'm out of here. And then I will help her grab her bag out of the back of the trunk real quick and hug and kiss and goodbye. And that's because she's my wife. And even with my wife, it's quick. I don't like goodbyes. For some reason, in my own little ways, I think goodbye, it's like an end to a friendship, or you're afraid you're not going to see him again, or something like that. We try to make it short and say, I'll see you later, or something like that. So that's just me. That's awkward. But Liz, her goodbye is a little different. Anytime Liz leaves town, her goodbyes is like a whole week long. Okay? Starts Monday. She makes the list. She reminds me what the kids are supposed to have, what are they eating for the week, and then she sets out clothes for the entire week. On Monday they wear this, on Tuesday they wear this, and then food. She makes sure our fridge is stocked with food that the kids can have for the week. On Monday they have this, on Tuesday they have this. So everything is laid out for me. So goodbyes for her is a whole week long. And then on Friday, before she leaves for the weekend or something like that, anytime she goes away, she starts to get stressed out because now she's wondering if she had prepared everything for the boys and I when we're home by ourselves. And I get it. Part of her preparation is making sure the boys and I's were taken care of when she's out of town. It's simple as that. She loves us, so she wants to make sure that we're taken care of. And me doesn't have to worry a whole lot when she's out of town. I purposely didn't write this in my sermon because she proofreads my sermon every Saturday night. The integrity of my sermon, so you know, my wife's an English teacher, so she doesn't let me like copy anything or plagiarize anything. But I purposely left that out. Not even kidding. I put dot, dot, dot on it because my wife was out of town 2 weeks ago. I haven't had the heart to tell her, but I don't remember Ari taking a bath all week. And I don't have the heart to tell her. I think Avery and Aram had a bath one time because we were doing something where they got dirty. But Aram, it's not in sports. He's kind of to himself. He does his own thing. I don't remember Aram having a bath the entire week when she was gone. I mean, Ari. Yeah. How many kids I got? I got too many kids to remember. And if I wasn't preaching on Sunday, that Sunday, I probably wouldn't have taken a shower that Saturday night. But Liz, she's good at goodbyes, and she prepares everything for us so that we can be as comfortable as possible when she leaves town. And that's kind of like what's happening here in John chapter 14. If you want to know the heart of Christianity, if you want to know like what we're supposed to do, how we're doing, or what do you want to read first, read John chapter 14 on. Because these are the last words of Jesus to his apostles. This is his goodbyes. This is his last will and testament. This is him putting everything into perspective, the most important thing he wants us to know, and to his apostles. John chapter 14. So it begins a little something like this. If you have a Bible, turn there. You have a Bible. If you have a Bible app, you can bring that up as well. I highly recommend having a Bible because when you're on your Bible app, just like all of us, we get distracted and we'll start clicking away and then we're not fully engaged. But so make sure you use a Bible. You're here. John chapter 14, it begins with this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay, we'll stop there for a second. Jesus went straight to the heart of the matter. No pun intended. He begins his last words to his apostles. Do not let your heart be troubled. How did he know? All of our emotions, our fear, our hopes, our dreams, our laughters, our doubts, our loneliness, our good times, our bad times, our confidence, our arrogance, our insecurities stems from the heart. Our emotions. Doing the research in this sermon. Dr. Scher from Massachusetts General Hospital. They're trying to do a study on how do we connect emotions to the brain. Or is there a connection between the brain and our emotions? What happens when someone have an emotion reaction to something? Does it have an effect on the brain? And this is what they found out. The study suggests that activity in the, and I'm not a medical expert, so amygdala, right? Not water boy, the amygdala, amygdala. What is that? The mama said amygdala, amygdala. The amygdala, an almond-shaped part of the brain, deep within the emotional cortex, it's overactive. Your future risk of having a heart attack or stroke over the next 3 years is actually much higher. So basically what it's saying is they found a connection. If a person is highly emotionally driven, it actually connected to this cortex called the amygdala. And if a person lives in the constant state of an emotional roller coaster, their chance of having a heart attack or stroke within the next 3 years is higher than someone that's not. Which is why people tell you to stop watching the news, right? So it says, as cardiologists, we're always known at some level that there's a connection between emotions and heart disease. So I got curious. I start clicking away, reading some more, looking at some medical articles. And it's kind of fascinating. When your brain perceives something to happen, it sends a signal to that thing, amygdala, which is a little thing in the deep end of your cortex, right? And it's the size of like an olive or shaped like a peanut, but the size of an olive. And it would translate that information. And it will confirm it or denies it. So here's what I discover. Right away, most of the time, your heart, your emotion, not the beating of your heart, but your emotion deceives us. It's reactive to information before the brain can properly process if that information is true or not. This is why sometimes guys get in trouble because you heard this before. He did it without. What? Does that happen that often that many of you guys knew that phrase? He did it without thinking. And it's true because our heart is reacting to a scenario, a situation, without our brain, it's confirming if that information is true or not. And this is why men get in trouble all the time, right? We do without thinking. So Jesus point out right away, he says, do not let your heart be troubled. He knew. As soon as he leave this earth physically, he knew his apostles were going to be in trouble. Rightfully so. They've been with Jesus for the past 3 years. Everything they needed was through Jesus. Everything they were afraid of was through Jesus. Everything they wanted to know about God was through Jesus. Everything they were relying on for their comfort, for their hurts, their doubts, everything, their miracles, they want to see something cool. It was about Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus will no longer be there. So Jesus knew that they're going to be in trouble without him. So he says, don't let your heart be troubled. that Satan's going to challenge the emotions. Oh, where's your Jesus now? He's not here. He's dead. He's in the tomb. Where are your friends? They all scatter. They're afraid. Where are the miracles? We don't see it. Where are your miracles? The things that Jesus did for you, how come we don't see it? In the same way we're going through that today, it's nothing new. You hear the world tells you all the time. You actually believe in that? That's like believing in Santa Claus. Did I just spill? Oh, okay, I didn't. Any kids in here? I don't want to ruin it for them. Do you really believe in that? Do you really believe that Jesus really went to the cross? Did he rose from the dead? Christianity was made up by man to control people. Do you really want to believe in that? All they want is your money. It's religion. Where's your Jesus? The Bible contradicts itself. The apostles were drunk. They were high on some kind of herbs. This thing was written by man and translated, misrepresented, misinterpreted. It's false. It's not true. Do you really believe in that? And Satan knows exactly what he's doing when he put those thoughts into your hearts. Because if you can react to that, and he knows, we are prone to leave when we're in doubts. But how did they know that? This is not the new, guys. The way in the Hebrew, in Jeremiah chapter 17, listen to this. Beginning in verse 7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? How do they know? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct or according to what their deeds deserve. How did the Hebrew people know? How did Jeremiah know that your emotions often betrayed you, but those who trust in the Lord, Jeremiah is telling us, our leaves will always be green. Basically, he's saying that you're not going to have a lot of fear if your head trusts in the Lord and not follow your heart, because your heart is deceitful. This is what he said. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Notice this doesn't say, if you trust in God, nothing bad will ever happen to you. It didn't say that. It says, when bad things happen to you or around you, you remain confident because our trust and confidence comes from what we know and not how we feel. Our trust and confidence come from what we know and not how we feel. Jesus knew we're humans. And humans are often deceived by our emotions. And we easily leave, run, or stop believing simply our feelings doesn't match up to what we expect. Our trust and confidence doesn't come on how we, not because how we feel, but it's what we know. So today I'm doing something very unusual. I have a 3-point sermon. I usually don't have a 3-point sermon, but I was telling Gary Sorba this week, I'm very proud because my sermons are actually 3 points. So point number one, trust in the words of Jesus. So right away he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And then he went on. He's trust in the words of Jesus. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way, the place. Where am I going? Jesus is using a home illustration. that this life, it's not forever. That your hurt, your pain, it's not forever. Your insecurities, your shortcomings, your pain, it's not forever. The things that are happening around us, it's not forever. There is a place that is going to last forever, and Jesus is calling that home. And he's going there to prepare a place where he called home. And that place forever has somebody there. Who is going to be there? God. He said, that place that I'm preparing for you has a lot of rooms. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to take you with me. And that place where we're going, we call that home. And that home has God in it. But it got me thinking for a second, right? Entertain me for a second. If we're going to go to a place what we call home, it has God in it, that means there is also a place that doesn't have God in it. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what Jesus is trying to say? Jesus is telling us something like, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and God's going to be there forever. But also, that tells me something, that there is also a place where you might go forever without God. When the world rattles your heart, which it does very often, your head, remember his words. Amen? When the world rattles your heart, which it does very often, especially today and age, your head remembers his words. I'm going to need your help for a second. Jesus says, I am the living what? The living what? I am the living water. I came from where? From heaven. From above. I am the light of. I am the light of what? I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. The Father and I are one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, come on, finish it, but have everlasting light. Jesus, I am the gate. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. That's just to name a few. Do I need this to remind me of that? To begin with, yes. What did the Hebrew people always want their children to do? To meditate on it, to memorize it, to have it on their hearts. So when the world rattles your heart, you don't go ballistic. Whoa, oh, where's God's word? Where's God's word? It's in here. Your head knows where God's word is. And Jesus, the entire ministry, he's telling his apostles, I am, I am, I am. Believe in me. I am, I am, I am. I didn't come from this world. I'm the Son of God. So when the world rattles your heart, your head, remember his word. Read this. Meditate on it. Memorize it. I closed it and I asked you a couple of questions, and most of you knew, which is awesome. Point number two, trust in the person of Jesus Christ. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the gospel at its finest, guys. the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God in the flesh. He says, you know me, you know the Father. Jesus left heaven willingly, which we talked about that last week. He walked among us. He went to the cross. He took on our punishment to illustrate the magnitude of how ugly sin is. He died. He was put in a tomb. And he rose from the dead. See, the Jewish people already knew all this. The Jewish people always knew that there is going to be someone. They already knew that they were living in a fallen world. They already knew that someone's going to come and going to rescue them. The Jewish people already knew that they were not good enough to be rescued. They needed somebody. There's nothing they can do to save themselves. They needed somebody. They knew all of this. And Jesus came and fulfilled all the details of this. But what is this? Isaiah 41. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteous in his service? He hands nations over to him. He subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to wind-blown chaff with his bow. He pursues them and moves on unscathed. By a path his feet have not traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through? Calling forth the generations from the beginning. Who has done this and carried it through? Calling forth the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first of them, and the last, I am he. Jesus came to fulfill this detail that the Jews always wanted to see. Who is going to rescue us? So at this moment, as Jesus talking to his apostles, they said, where are you going? Show us the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He took our death willingly by putting himself on the cross. And Isaiah 53 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And he rose to life to rescue us from the grave. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Trust in the person of Jesus Christ. When the world challenges your heart, your head knows Jesus went to the cross. Especially today's age. Because everyone wants you to believe in something. Well, why would you put your faith in Jesus when there's so many other things out there? Why would you put your faith in Jesus when you can meditate? Why would you believe in Jesus if you can just go here? Why would you believe in Jesus when you can find religion within yourself? This is awkward for everybody. This is hard for all of us in this room. This is hard for us to leave here today, and I guarantee, challenge you, go up to somebody and say, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. That's awkward. Why? Because Satan wants to deceive your heart and already deceiving your friends' hearts. But you as Christians, us as Christians, these are the last words of Jesus. When the world rattles your heart, your head already knows Jesus went to the cross. And the last thing Jesus told them was, trust in the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. Keep in mind the context of this conversation. These are Jesus' last words to his apostles. Trust in my words, because what I'm telling you is true. Trust in me as a person, because I'm going to go on the cross for you. The last thing he wants you to know, and us to know, and the apostles to know, is trust in the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. That's what he said. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is a promise and a gift from God. This is new to everybody. The Jews knew they were living in a fallen world. They needed someone to rescue them. But until someone can come to rescue them, in order for them to get their sins forgiven, they have to go to who? The high priest. Anytime they had a problem, we got to go to the high priest. Anytime they want a confession, they got to go to the high priest. Anytime they want their sins forgiven, they got to go to the high priest. Anytime they want to make a sacrifice, they have to go to a high priest. Anytime they have a problem within their marriage, within their relationships, within their friendship, with anything that's happened in the camp, they got to go to the high priest. But when Jesus came, and Jesus, this is new. Jesus, you're going to have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, so you no longer have to go to who? The high priest, because Jesus, in the book of John, for the past 16 weeks, he illustrated to us that Jesus was what? The high priest. Our Catholic friends missed that point, didn't they? That Jesus is a direct connection between us and God. Through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of all of us. This is new. And when the gospel began to spread, people were a little bit confused as well. You're not the only one, by the way. So Paul, a great theologian, a Pharisee, had to explain this to new believers. He says, guys, listen, you don't have to go to the high priest anymore. You don't have to make sacrifice anymore. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And everyone's like, Paul, what are you talking about? Tell us more. And this is what he said. He wrote it to the Romans, chapter 8. The mind governed by the flesh is dead, it's death. But the mind governed by the Spirit, it's life and peace. Notice he didn't say, if you follow your heart's emotions, then you'll be in peace. He says, no, the mind of what you know. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. This is Paul explaining to the church in Rome. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we are to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because of the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Your attention up here, guys. You hear what Paul is saying to these people who were wondering what is going on now? What is this Jesus about? And what do we do? Why don't we go to the high priest anymore? So he's saying, because you're now in the Spirit. The Spirit acts as a counselor to us until Jesus returns. Or for lack of better words, for some of us, right? The Spirit acts as a babysitter. Because we all need babysitting. We do. My wife and I often would ask a friend to watch our kids so we can get some work done or just go out on a date by ourselves. This past week was Lori and Diane Forrest. Thank you, by the way. And when we bring in the babysitter, we set up boundaries for our kids. They can do this, they can't do that. They can have this, they can't have that. And Liz and I will leave for 3 or 4 hours, and we'll come back. And for the most part, the babysitters would say, we really enjoy your kids. But they say it very quickly, and they're out of there, right? So we can't decide if they really do or really not. I don't know. But we really enjoy your kids. See ya. I know during the process of them babysitting, my kids would do something stupid, right? They'll break the rules. They push the boundaries. They're having snack that they're not supposed to. But the babysitter, 110% of the time, would say, they were great. And that's how the Spirit acts for us when we're facing God. He was great. She was great in the Holy Spirit here and now. It's our guidance, our counselor. I shouldn't do that. You shouldn't touch that. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't buy that. Maybe you need to apologize. Maybe you need to take a step back and go for a walk and take a break. Maybe you need to save that for emergency. Maybe you need to give a little bit more. Maybe you should get connected to somebody in your church that can pray for you. Maybe you get involved in a community. Maybe. So the Holy Spirit is constantly talking to us, telling us what we need to do, and we're fighting it. But what we really need to do is listen to the Holy Spirit, that what he's telling us, because he's our counselor until Jesus returns. And when Jesus returns, he's going to rescue us and he's going to bring us in front of God. And because we believe in Jesus Christ, trust in his word, trust in the person of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit and Jesus will say to God, he was really good. You get the idea? This is what Jesus is telling his apostle. These were his last words. You were really good. You were in him when you're weak. The Holy Spirit holds us together. When we don't have the words to say to God, the Holy Spirit groans for us. When we're in a conflict, when we're in trouble, when we're lonely, when we're in doubt, when our confidence is low, when we're at the highest mountaintops, the Holy Spirit whispers in your little ears and he says, you're a child of God. He stands in the gap. He vouched for us. And when the world plants doubts in your heart, your head have the truth in you. When the world plants doubts in your hearts, your head knows you have the truth living inside of you. You're a child of God, of the Most High. I don't think we really understand that. You are a child of the Most High. What are you afraid of? What keeps you so fearful? What's holding you back? What makes you think your problems can't be fixed? What makes you think that relationship can't be healed? What makes you think things aren't going to be okay? The last words of Jesus to his apostle was like, I am the words that I'm speaking to you. I am the person that I'm going to die for you. And I am leaving you the Holy Spirit because you are a child of the Most High. Amen? And when the world rattles your heart, your head knows who you belong to. Belong to God. As the band come forward, I made it through the whole sermon without coughing because I set my butt on my knees this morning with our elders and my wife, Gary. My wife's not Gary, my wife. I said with Gary. You might have come out wrong. And I prayed to the Holy Spirit. I say, speak through me today. Because this morning when I was practicing my sermon, I couldn't make it through a paragraph without coughing ballistically. I set my butt down. I said, God, speak through me today. Because it was too late to ask Errol to fill in. Because I had prepared that this week already. But my point is this. You're a child of the Most High. There's an old saying, the grass is greener on the other side. But in our sports world, because I love sports, we always encourage our athletes, the grass is not greener on the other side. You just got to water your own. Read God's word. Meditate on it. Because that little thing in your head is going to process it. It's going to say, you know exactly who you are. Because I live in you. Amen? Let's stand. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, this could be your day. This could be that little thing in your head saying, I sat through this enough. I know this now. I need to make a decision for Jesus. If that's you this morning, you've never even been baptized, we have a baptistry here enclosed in the back. We'd love to celebrate that with you. And our elder's going to be up here as well. If you need prayers, just come up and our elders will pray with you. Whatever you're going through, or even questions about God or about Christianity, our elders will pray with you. But don't leave here without making a decision for Jesus. That He's your Lord. He's your Savior. And through the course of this song, by way of invitation, in front of you there are these cards. If you need prayers, fill that out and drop it in the box on your way in and out. We'd love to pray with you. And that's by way of offering as well. But you're visiting with us for the first time, make sure you fill that card out so we can get a hold of you as well. But don't leave here today not knowing that you are the child of the Most High, that He loves you.